listeners, you're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and ExcellentCultures.com. You got Zach Gandra here, and I'm with the inimitable Steve Gandra. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great today, Mr. Zach.
Excellent. You didn't correct my pronunciation of inimitable.
Well, I just gotten so worn out with you calling me inevitable that I just got used to it. And that's one of the things about bad culture. People work on them so long that they just get used to it, and then the next thing you know, the Gallup poll comes out, and you've got a 70% disengaged workforce, everybody's asleep on the job, hates their boss, and you wonder why your profits are down.
I'm going to be a little honest. I think you took that too far. I think you went way too far on
Well, I mean, I'm just quoting straight from the Gallup poll. You know, I'm quoting from the CEO of Gallup's
cover memo. What I feel like you've now done is you've taken me talking about the word inimitable and not being able to pronounce it correctly to now you're just ignoring my issue
But the new Gallup poll on employee engagement is what's really inimitable.
Whatever.
Because it proves that culture eats strategy for breakfast.
All right. Well, there you go. So we had a lot of fun. We've had a busy week the last couple of weeks. We were with Coast Management. Am I saying it right? Coast Real Estate.
Yeah. Coast Properties.
Coast Properties over the last week, and I'm not sure how far they are in the process.
Well, they're great. They're into step three of the process, have all of their leaders engaged. Big changes going on in a very positive direction. Lots of awesome feedback, all fours and fives on the responses. So they're really rocking.
Yeah, they're doing good.
Great firm.
It was a lot of fun being there with their team. How many leaders were there? 30, 40,
We had about 25-ish.
And those were what, the C-suite plus?
Yeah, our C-suite plus their senior managers, who are typically the leaders of any organization that drive the culture.
Right. I was blown away. They had a great team of people there. It was a lot of fun, and it was interesting to watch dynamic change, at least in perceptions and team communication over 2 days.
Yeah, watching people change and experiencing it and seeing facial expressions and feeling body language is a lot better than reading about it or talking about it later. But the data still tells what's going on.
Right. And on our way to the studio today, we had a conversation with one of our partners that's with Toyota right now.
Yeah, she's down in Toyota even as we speak in Southern California. And had a great example there. You know, we're going to talk today to a leader that is, you know, world class on the subjects of trust building and transparency of leadership, both on the academic side and the real world business side as a CEO. But, you know, had a great example of transparency take place at Toyota in their national marketing division this past week, where one of their leaders scored very poorly on our business DNA diagnostic leader assessments. I mean, just a lot of ugly stuff came out from his 360 reviews that, you know, he wasn't proud of at all. But this guy took his report, the summary page, he blew it up three or four times the size and glued it up on his wall.
Nice.
You know, glued it up on his wall, basically looking to folks, you know, basically
like, hey, everybody,
admitting,
here's
hey,
how
I'm,
much help
you know,
I need.
It's almost like, imagine what it would be like if those of you who, on the Gallup poll, the 18% of you who said you hated your boss, imagine what it would be like if your boss came in tomorrow with a poster that says, my bad, my bad, I did it, you know, help me improve, which is basically what this guy said. I won't mention his name because we didn't get permission, but, you know, what a phenomenal example of transparency and leadership.
Yeah, it's awesome. That is really awesome, and that's the fun part. We have a special guest with us today. I shouldn't say special, I should say inimitable.
Inimitable, yes.
And he's been sitting here patiently. We have him in the studio, patiently quiet. And Steve, why don't you introduce our guest today?
Okay, I've known Tony Pizzello for a while.
Pizzello.
Tony Pizzello. Tony is a brilliant guy in two fields. I mean, he is a scholar and an academic. He has been a professor at five different universities. He's currently, while he's a CEO of Pacific West, also teaching adjunct at Seattle Pacific University, courses in economics and finance, that's his field. And he's finishing his PhD in industrial organizational psychology.
Yeah.
And I mean, what I like most about Tony is, number one, he's brilliant. Number two, he's brilliant both from a academic scholar perspective and a real world leadership perspective. And number three, he has a real-life story about transparency and overcoming adversity that most people in his position wish they would never have to experience. But Tony's been through it and has experienced it and grown immensely from it.
Right. So welcome, Tony. Glad you're on the show today.
Well, thank you. It's an amazing honor to be with this father-son dynamic duo and in the crossfire.
But you like the father better, right?
I hope so.
The crossfire energy here is great, so it's good to be here.
Good. We're excited to have you here. So, Gonzaga Bulldog, are you, yes. You're student, professor?
Both.
Both?
Yes. I have a bachelor's degree in economics from Gonzaga.
Okay.
I taught as an adjunct professor there for a number of years.
Yeah.
My dad was an alumnus of Gonzaga, so it's very much in our family.
Yeah. Wow.
Eastern Washington, for those of you not on this side.
Anybody who watches basketball knows about the Gonzaga Bulldogs.
Are they right. Division I and anything else except D1 basketball?
D1 basketball.
Yes, they're Division I in baseball.
Are they? That's right. I actually, coming out of Seattle Prep, Gonzaga was one of those schools that was like, go to Gonzaga.
Right.
It's Seattle U, Gonzaga, University of Portland, all the Jesuit schools, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So I know a lot about. I didn't end up going there. I ended up going to a Lutheran school. So
there you go.
So
you ended up at PLU, and the Jesuits are glad that they didn't have to deal with
you. I went liberal on them. That's what basically happened.
No comment. No, we won't comment on that.
Well, Steve, lead us into Tony. We need to hear Steve and Tony, but we need to hear quite a bit from you, Tony, on your background story here in our first segment.
Yeah, Tony, just take a few minutes and tell us about, your world, your experience, both on the business side and the academic side, both at Pacific West Financial, and in your current work, both teaching and finishing your doctorate at Seattle Pacific.
Okay, great. I'll start with Pacific West. I started as the CEO at Pacific West in 2002. And I want to give credit to a great team there, great team of other executives and managers and staff. During that time, we were able to grow our revenue a 400% clip from 2001 through to the peak in 2007. Our sales reached $1.2 billion.
Wow.
Our revenue was at $57 million. We were top 50 in the nation in independent financial firms. We had offices in 32 states and nearly 180 offices. So we were quite involved there. And there were certain niches in the financial industry where we were a leader, or if not the leader, of a niche in the financial industry that was recognized nationally.
Wow.
So we achieved great results there. And I'm still at Pacific West to this day. And so we're very pleased of that track record.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Also, the second one in the banking industry, second leader in the banking industry we've had on the show, yeah?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
Financial services is an area where typically culture and leadership and transparency have only been identified for the bad guys that come out in the news.
Yes.
And, we're finding a lot of really good guys that are making a huge positive difference in the marketplace.
Being the more liberal side of the dynamic duo, I've been impressed with the bank leaders we've had on the show so far, too. So it's been neat.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. Yeah. Well, I've been really shaped by a lot of adversity, especially over the last 5 years, and that's really transformed my thinking about leadership, building trust, and building teams. It started in 2005. My father passed away, and then shortly after that, the recession hit. And so, like other leaders or other managers, one of the things that's the hardest for us to do is lay people off.
Yeah.
And we had to lay off a lot of people. And it was something that was a very heavy weight I had to carry, as well as others at the firm. And then my wife became ill at the time, and she eventually passed away. And I took the time and gave up my life at that time to care for her. And so she had cancer and fought an amazing battle. I had a great team around me, including my four children and people at the church I go to. And because of the support and whatnot, I was able to be her primary caregiver. And it was during that process that I really learned, what is it like to lay down your life for someone?
Right.
And so she died in January of 2010. And then the next adversity, couple years later, my mother passed away.
Oh, brother.
And then, as Steve, as you know, we've been hit with all kinds of legal issues, and some of the legal issues we've been named in really is totally unjust. So we've been through a lot of adversity, but I believe that adversity can really make you stronger. And there's a quote I learned many, many years ago by Eleanor Roosevelt, and it says this: no one can make you feel inferior without your consent.
Yeah.
And I believe that no one can make you feel any particular way, whether it's angry or depressed or whatever it is, without your consent or your permission.
Right.
And so the first thing I think in going through adversity is you do not give permission to allow that to affect you.
Yeah.
And I think that helps in customer service.
Right.
It helps in dealing with managers. It helps with dealing with disengaged employees. Whatever it is, that I'm not going to allow that to weigh me down.
Right.
And the second thing there is I believe that all things work together for good.
Yeah.
So things are the things that I go through, they are working together for my for my good,
right,
if I have that right perspective.
I think number one, love the quote. I read it yesterday.
Wow.
I was putting together.
That's one of those you could read every single day.
Oh yeah.
From.
Yeah, I mean, we're working on some new stuff we'll be implementing into companies here in 2014, and so while I was doing some research and stuff, that quote came up and I thought the same thing. I was like, that is such a beautiful quote of
yes.
Unless you give it permission, it can't.
That's right. Yeah.
And then that whole attitude and understanding of all of this. And I think we could all say that. If we look back and we go through the adversities we've gone through, all of us can pull from, man, here's what I learned through that. Here's where I grew through that. Here's what I understand now. Here's how I can help others. And it truly does end up working out for our good at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
We're going to go into our first break. And then, Steve, you're going to lead us into the next facet of Mr. Tony Pizzello. We'll be right back. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNT Cultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
Back. Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. We have with us today Mr. Tony Pizzello, CEO Pacific West. But before we get into that, we want to make sure that you guys understand and know that you can plug in with us right now at excellentcultures.com. You can plug into all the podcasts that we have had and all the shows that we've had up until now, talking to national leaders, world leaders, global leaders all over the country that are doing great things in business and family. But then also right now, connect with Seth, send an email, a question, ask the experts at excellentcultures.com. We want to engage in conversation with you and chat with you and how you are leading culture in your neck of the woods.
Steve. And we take those questions that you send in and we funnel them back to our guests,
yeah,
get answers,
absolutely,
and respond. And then additionally, the really good stuff ends up being in a show later on the air.
Yeah.
So back to Tony Pizzello. When I first,
but you don't get any royalties for it.
No.
Nope.
No. I mean,
you get help and answers.
It would be cool if we could get some royalties. But, well, you know,
we don't even get paid for doing this show. What is this?
We believe in win-win.
That's right.
Helping the good guys win. That's why we do Biz Culture Matters.
Absolutely.
And Tony is a good guy. So when I first met Tony, the thing that impressed me most about him, because I did not know about his, you know, five different teaching positions at five stellar universities. I didn't know about his doctorate degree. I didn't know about his up numbers as a leader in the financial services industry and the billions of dollars that, you know, he created by his leadership with his team.
Right.
I just knew, man, this is like the happiest person I've ever met. And when I got to know him better and found out that, you know, he just lost, you know, his wife, that he was her primary caregiver, that he was getting pounded with lawsuits for something that he had nothing to do with. I mean, just, right. You know, weird lawyers finding out that their, you know, his name was somewhere on the chain of stuff that was a remote agent someplace out somewhere in nowhere, and all these lawsuits that he was responding to. And this was the happiest guy that I ever met.
Yeah.
So I was immediately impressed and began to...
And he looks good in a suit.
Yeah, he looks pretty good in a suit. You know, I began to reach out to Tony and find out more about his background and how he led. And we got to know each other better, which is why I wanted to have him on the show. But, I mean, this is a very transparent leader.
Yeah.
And now you can see the connection between the billions of dollars in revenue and fourfold growth, double-digit growth, that he created through his leadership and his team.
Right.
And look at the connection between this transparency and, you know, these huge ROIs from a business perspective. So,
absolutely.
Tony, tell us what it's like to have to learn transparency the hard way.
Well, what I went through, Steve, is this, is whatever I'm going through as a leader, I need to be sharing that to the people I'm leading. And in doing that, I become transparent to them. So, for example, when I was going through the ordeal with my wife, who was dying of cancer, as I shared that, we cried together, and we had a lot of times where I would say, hey, I need your support. And we really received that support. The company rallied behind us. My wife received over 500 cards in the mail, wow. All kinds of flowers and gifts. Wow. In fact, it got to the point where when she was bedridden, she would look at me and she'd say, have you gotten the mail yet? I think I hear somebody at the door. Is that a FedEx person? Can you go check? Those things meant a huge boost of encouragement as she was battling that cancer. But what happened here is that the team rallied around us, and so we were one. There was great unity in this, and that's what I really learned, is that as a leader, if you share your life with those people you're leading, it builds amazing trust, right. And teamwork and loyalty. And those people may forget all kinds of things about our growth numbers,
right.
And the things that we accomplish, but they will never forget that time that they went through the experience of me losing my wife,
yeah.
And what that meant, because that was something that built an amazing bond.
Right.
And that, I think, is a thing in building trust in an organization, is you have to have those things that build that bond.
Yeah.
And when that bond is built, then those people act in what we call, in IO psychology,
right.
We call that great citizenship.
Interesting.
Citizenship is something where behavior support the culture of the organization. Employees have great citizenship when they're persisting with enthusiasm, they're going the extra mile, providing extra effort, volunteering to carry out activities that are not part of their formal job, they're following procedures even when it's inconvenient for them, and they're boosting customer service, which goes right to the bottom line. So in IO Psych, we call this citizenship. We measure for it, we study it, but on the job, this was a cultural event that was so real that I am confident any of those people that went through that with me would immediately recall that event when you brought up my name. And so those are the kind of things that build a bond and a trust in a team that just is hard to build any other way.
Wow, that is huge. Interesting, just in my conversation with my colleague who's down in the midst of a culture transformation and a $3 billion budget division of Toyota today, and the example that we talked about earlier about this one leader of theirs who just came out and displayed this, my bad, look how poor my feedback came in on the 360 reviews, and displayed it so publicly and so transparently, what people don't realize is when you do that, everybody rallies around you, and because they've got stuff that's not perfect in their lives as well. And the greatest thing that we can identify with as human beings first and employees or managers second is that we ain't perfect.
That's right.
And then when we can identify those imperfections in the public forum in a positive way, that it does more to build trust and positive culture and ultimately, bottom line performance. But, here you are, a professor in economics and finance and soon to be industrial, or that's what IO stands for, industrial organizational psychology, soon to be an industrial organizational doctor of industrial organizational psychology. And you're telling us from an academic and research perspective that just plain old tell it like it is, be transparent about your weaknesses. If you're going through something tough, don't hold it back and hesitate to share it with your people, has performance-related results. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. That has been my experience for sure. And I think there are other things that helped us to build the culture as well. We stood on a motto of family culture. And there were things that we did to promote family culture, where we had employees participate in the establishment of the missions, the values, the goals, where the company was going.
You mean you didn't just come up with those in a vacuum, publish them on the website, and come announce to all your folks that here's our mission, here's our values, here's our goals. Let's go, guys.
No, we went through a very serious process that involved all the people of the organization in establishing that, and that created a great buy-in. The family culture also that we would promote was we celebrated often. So, for example, we had an award called Oscar. Outstanding service can always reward. And so Oscar, to represent Oscar, we had a teddy bear. And that was Oscar. And so what we did is the employees rewarded each other each month. And they would stand up in our regroup meeting where we celebrated success, and we would cry when things didn't work out, like families do. And they would stand up in front of the entire group and say, I want to honor Jane. And here's what Jane did. And this is why she gets the honor. She overcame great adversity, or she came here and put in extra hours. And look at the effort that she's done. Jane deserves to be honored. And we give her a round of applause, and she gets Oscar. And the company would reward her with a gift certificate. And then so that month, she'd have Oscar sitting at her desk.
Yeah. Awesome.
And then Jane got to award the Oscar the next month and do the same thing, stand up and give out Oscar. And so we had other awards as well. Each year we had two employees of the year. Our customers voted on one employee of the year award, and the staff voted on
so
another.
So you had
two different ones, and both the recipient and their spouse or significant other got to go to our top producer event, which is usually like in Hawaii or Mexico or some great place like that. And they got to go to this event, and it was a week-long vacation, all paid for by the company. So, and then they were honored and recognized at a big trophy on the wall.
So they were recognized not just for performance numbers, but for building positive culture in the organization.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And side by side with performance numbers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And employee recognition is huge. We found that the best thing you can do with your money and the most effective way to spend your money on your employees is not just in bonuses and those kind of things, because that can be very expensive, especially during recessionary times. but buying pizza, having Friday pizza days, recognize your employees, give them awards, allow them to participate in what's going on with the future direction of the company. Those are the kind of things that really builds these strong bonds and the culture, which what we call family culture, really developed and grew out of that.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. That's you remind me of two things. I was interviewing a CEO, senior executive actually, of a nationally recognized firm yesterday. And in the context of this discussion, he was talking about an employee on his team who had just gone through a huge, very challenging family debacle, you know, broken marriage, children, you know, just devastated, just an awful experience. And every day he would, he knew that this employee, she was going through this. And every day he would come up and reach out and talk to her about, you know, how's it going? And it was always the, oh, everything's great, getting through it just fine. But deep down inside, he knew that she was broken and her heart was breaking. And as an executive, he was so frustrated that they didn't have the culture where she could feel comfortable sharing the, you know, sorry, but, you know, I'm just broken today.
Yes.
You know, just broken today. And nothing would have encouraged him more than for her to have the feeling that she could be totally transparent.
We need to head to the next break, but I want you to think about this question for when we come back from the break, Tony.
All right.
Because I think a lot of leaders fear, is there a point where I'm being too transparent?
Sure.
So let's talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. We'll be right back.
ExcellentCultures.com is always interviewing leaders committed to cultural leadership, excellence, and change. These leaders, like Russell Freeman, Ross Perot's COO, and Bob Hinton, CPA and Moss Adams Managing Partner, have world-class ideas. As advocates for creating a strong corporate culture that builds people and serves customers with excellence, they share breakthrough business ideas. Gain insights from Russell, Bob, and others on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
Has business taken over your life? Are you living to work or working to live? Stress, broken marriages, neglected relationships, and poor health are symptoms of a life out of balance. The right coaching plan can have transformational impact on the quality of your performance at work, depth of relationships at home, and personal sense of well-being. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work. Stop struggling to survive. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work.
We're back on Biz Culture Matters, Clay 1180, excellentcultures.com. We're interviewing Tony Bozzello, CEO of Pacific West and, you know, renowned academic, taught classes in finance and economics in five different universities, currently adjunct teacher at Seattle Pacific University while he's working on his doctorate in industrial organizational psychology. And before the break, we were, you know, listening to Tony tell us about how being transparent as a leader in time of adversity had such positive double-digit growth, you know, impact on his firm. And Zach raised the question that, you know, where do we draw the line in between kumbaya, warm and fuzzy, hug everybody, and then no results happen in business?
I didn't word it that way.
That's my definition.
I just asked, is there a point? I mean, leaders were afraid to be too transparent.
Well,
I didn't get into
it. And the reason, but the leaders that I talk to, they call it, you know, we don't do kumbaya, warm and fuzzy, huggy cuddly. You know, even listen to Tony talk about their Oscar reward being a teddy bear. you know, it sounds like this guy is a Huggy Bear instead of a double-digit growth CEO. So I want him to speak to, you know, the balance between those two. Because, yeah, I mean, just because you go to work and hug an employee every day doesn't mean that you're going to have high performance.
Right.
And Tony knows how to do both and make them work together very well.
Well, that's a very good point. And I think the balance is that every organization needs goals and what we called our key strategic indicators, our KSIs. And we had KSIs in both the quantitative side, those that can be measured by financial progress and whatnot, and we broke those down quarterly. So every quarter we had key measures, quantitative measures to measure our growth. And then secondly, we had qualitative measures. And sometimes the qualitative measures might measure the culture type things. And you thought, well, how do we measure culture? Well, the way we did it is we surveyed. And we said we want a 4 out of 5 average or 4.25 or whatever on our surveys on a 5-point scale, for example. I think as long as the organization is heading in the right direction, that I don't believe leaders have to fear that they're sharing too much.
That's good.
Because I would say all of the leaders I know, it's the opposite. They err on the side of sharing too little, and then it creates the rumor mill around the company that says, oh, did you hear about so-and-so, the CEO, and the CEO's got...
Right.
So, you know, at least at Pacific West, that wasn't a problem.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you had the balance of focused strategic accountability for the key SIs, which is pretty much what everybody has.
Yes.
But they stop there, and then it becomes all about numbers and not about people.
Right.
And you built a culture where it was about people that produced numbers, and the balance seemed to be perfect.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to mention one other thing that was a key part on the management structure and the reporting structure, because if accountability is not a factor, then what happens, it is kumbaya. Everybody loves one another, but nothing gets done.
Right.
There has to be that level of accountability. So before I got to Pacific West, I was in an organization, and I saw where managers were having a big problem with keeping their people accountable. So I created this system, and we called it a Pacific West Employee Development Meetings. And basically, the Employee Development Meetings had a chart. And the chart broke down, and it basically was a reporting system where everybody in the organization was accountable to their superiors, and they had to report on all their tasks and what they were working on meeting by meeting by meeting. Some people met every week on this. So there was this accountability.
So every task that they were working on, they reported every week.
That's right.
Meeting by meeting by meeting.
That's right. And they reported on other things like, how would you assess your current workload? What are you concerned about? What are some obstacles that you're facing in your work? What is the one thing that we could do to increase our team effectiveness? What is one thing that we could do to improve our family culture? I could use assistance from my manager in blank, okay? I would really enjoy learning more about or being cross-trained in blank. So there's that training and cross-training. And so we had a lot of other questions here. But the idea was is that this was a tool to create a level of communication among the staff. And communication's a big key.
Yeah.
We had a couple sayings. 3 is key, 7 is heaven. Everything was communicated at least 3 times. We had meetings, effective meetings. So we have verbal communication from the leadership at the meetings, over webinars or conference calls. We had communication via the company website, and we had communication via the email system, the company newsletter, and on it went. We had 7 is heaven is you just keep communicating the message. The message has to go out in a repetitive way to the entire organization, because culture isn't something that is learned through osmosis. It has to be communicated with passion, with integrity, and over that message has to hit the people that need to hear it.
Okay, so I want to underscore one piece of that puzzle.
Yes.
Because basically we've got these two dichotomies of different types of leaders. One is the kumbaya hug everybody, love everybody. It's all about the people, leader with no accountability.
Right.
And the other is crunch by the numbers, in your face, get it done or else kind of a leader.
Right.
And what I hear you saying is that the sweet spot is a happy medium.
Yes.
That and so if all you're hearing is, oh, we've got these weekly, you know, follow-up sessions, monthly follow-up sessions, we get feedback every week, we get the surveys. Yeah, everybody does that these days. But if you're doing it in a heartless, cold, by the numbers fashion, deep down inside you really don't care about the people, then all you're going to get is numbers and turnover and frustrated people. And as the Gallup poll tells us, 70% who are not engaged in their jobs, 20% of that, not 20% of the 70%, but 2 out of 10 actually said they hated their jobs, and the most common reason they hated their jobs was because they hated their boss.
Yes.
And the Gallup CEO calls these the managers from hell. And managers from hell, you know, aren't born. They're not trained to be managers from hell. They just kind of evolve
right.
when folks don't keep their eye on those two pieces of the puzzle that you've just shared so well, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the key there is, first of all, be very careful in your selection and hiring process, and not just hiring people that are competent to be managers, but carry the culture. And so when we interviewed, we had specific questions in these structured interviews that we would conduct that were key questions revealing the character and how it ties in with our culture.
Yeah.
Secondly, these managers have to follow the system of accountability, okay?
Right.
And then also be very careful who you promote to manager. Sometimes people can be great in a staff position, but they become lousy managers because they're promoted beyond their competency.
Right.
So the key here is that we are one team and we have one message. We're accountable to the goals that we set for ourselves, which they play a part in that. They give input into those goals, and that we're going in the same direction. So that is a very important key. And then along the way, the whole emphasis is on customer service, serving our customers, caring for our customers. For example, we would do targeted customer conference calls. So our key customers, we would call them up, and on that call, we'd have an executive, a manager, and a staff person.
Wow, three people.
Three people. And we have designated questions. Tell us how we're doing. Tell us what we can do better. Tell us, what are your needs? Are we meeting your needs? Is there something we're blind to? How can we get more of your business?
Not just the cold survey that goes out that you hope you can get people to respond.
Right. No. This is a live. It's scheduled ahead of time. Three is key. We'd have three reminders of the upcoming conference call. And so during that, the staff would learn how the managers behaved on those calls. The managers would learn how the executives were behaving on those calls with our key customers. So that's a very great training program
right
in the midst of that.
Yeah, so the value, and I have a hard time getting leaders to realize this. They drop their minds into the category of, oh, train the trainer. We don't have time for that. Get the training department to do that. Let HR take care of that.
If they have a training department.
Yeah, and what they don't, I mean, and if they had an effective management training program and a management training process, then we wouldn't have these managers from hell, as the Gallup CEO calls them, that are out there wreaking havoc on the engagement of our workforce. But that, you know, what seems to be, you know, the key here is that it's a true heart that cares about people in the midst of a process that develops leaders just by the way that you work and by the way you structure the process and the communications and these calls that you're talking about. Sounds like, yeah, it was customer feedback, but you can get that from a cold survey. But you can't get, I call it the Karate Kid, wax on, wax off, sand the deck, paint the fence. You know, he thought he was, you know, it was all about learning karate. No, it was about, or thought it was all about doing the work, but it was really about learning karate. I mean, you're teaching leaders how to lead and how to be transparent and how to understand, and employees how to become leaders and managers how to become executives in these calls.
Yes, absolutely. And not only that, we also... through the calls, we would have a debrief, and we would get together and go over what had to be done. For example, every call would produce deliverables. So we say, okay, what are you going to work on from this call? What are you going to work on? And the, a lot of times the key customers had similar type of deliverables to give us. Okay, and so this created a system by which we could respond directly to our key customers.
Nice.
And it was a great way for the staff and managers and executives to all learn. And we'd always have a way to get back to those key customers and say, here's the action plan.
Right.
And we would communicate that in writing to the customer. Here's the action plan. Here's what we're working on.
Right.
And we also had formal training. We employed coaches and whatnot. So there was some formal training that we did with managers and leaders. But I think the key thing is are they part of the culture or not? That is really the key.
And that's huge. We got to go into a break, guys. This conversation, I didn't want to stop it, but commercials pay for the show. So here we go. We're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM, excellentcultures.com. Intriguing, amazing leadership talk here from Tony Pizzello of Pacific West. We'll be right back.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNT Cultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
All right, listeners, we're back. During the commercial break, Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180, excellentcultures.com, by the way. We had an intriguing chat. We're chatting even without you listening. But last segment, we just spent some time on if the leader doesn't have the heart, then it's, I mean, how would you word it, Steve?
If you don't have the heart, how do you get one? Because if you don't have one, it's not going to work anyway.
Right.
And
it can't be faked. It can't be phonied. I mean, all of us, they say dogs smell fear and smell all these emotions, but humans do too. Teenagers do. Kids do. That's why if you use dog whispering techniques on little kids, it works.
What an evil attitude about parenting.
Just watch season. I'm not a parent yet. You can obviously tell.
You can
but,
tell.
just watch Caesar Milan and you'll figure out some tools of leading
the dog whisperer.
But how does a leader get the heart?
I'm still trying to break out of that dog whisperer comment. All right, so we're going to the heart. So Tony,
how do we do it?
We're going to ask you to put on your industrial organizational psychologist hat now. Yeah. And we've had Dr. Rob McKenna, who is the leader of the world-renowned, not inimitable industrial organizational psychology department at Seattle Pacific University. I mean, you have like 80 colleagues in the master's and doctorate level programs there, finest in the world, really working on, and I know the theme for this year is about humanizing leadership. And, typically what happens is, the leaders who have a heart get labeled as the warm and fuzzy, squishy people. I was talking yesterday to a very phenomenal woman leader at Toyota, about, I mean, and her expertise is in finance and accounting. Brilliant, you know, brilliant scholar, knows all about finance and accounting, has, you know, had a phenomenal career, but has some of the best people engaging skills of anybody I've ever heard and anybody I've ever met. Been talking about how to get both. So, you know, from without loading us down with a bunch of psychological terms. You know, we'll take the psychedelic terms, but the psychological terms that our listeners have to go out and look up. Tell us, I mean, how does a leader that doesn't have heart and wants to build a culture of high performance and accountability and what you're talking about from a standpoint of leading with a heart, how do you get it? How do you get it?
Well, that's a great question, and I absolutely believe in leadership development. Some people do not. Some people believe that leaders are born, they're not made. But I do believe in leadership development, and I believe there is some research to support that. How do you get that is a very good question. Some of the things that happened to me through life were overcoming difficult situations, overcoming challenges and whatnot. I believe that there is a great deal that can be obtained in leadership development. I read a lot. I study. I go to conferences, and I talk to other leaders. And I think the first key, I would say, is you need to have a mentor.
Okay.
If you don't have a heart to be a leader, you need to find somebody with that heart, and you need to say, will you be my mentor?
Okay, so find a mentor with a heart.
Find a mentor with a heart, okay? Number two is I would look at key books and things that you could read that can help you along in that. And so there's a lot of sources out there. With Google now, you can just Google leadership development, the heart of a leader, transparency, being an authentic leader. You know, I think all of those things are great. One that comes to mind is True North, which is...
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that book.
Yeah, Bill George, he was the CEO of Medtronic, I believe. So that'd be one that just comes off the top. And then another one is called Resonant Leadership. And I don't recall the authors of that off the top of my head, but Resonance Leadership.
Right.
And so those are a couple things.
So get a mentor and then read and study.
Read and study. And then the third thing really comes back to my spiritual side, and that's that resonant leadership also ties into the spiritual as well. I believe you can never reflect more than you are. Mm. Who you are within is going to come out as a leader.
Sooner or later.
Sooner or later. And you have to admit to your weaknesses, and you have to live up to the strengths that you do have. But in the end, you can never reflect more than you are. So I believe whatever path you're on the spiritual side of things,
right,
that you need to pursue that with all you have. And really, that I think is a very good key to building the heart of a leader. And then the fifth thing I would say is this, is the team around you. So in my case, my team is my wife,
right,
my four children, people that I fellowship at where I go to church and whatnot. Those are your team members. And so share your life with them, and both
so kind of like your spiritual team members, people who
spiritual
uphold
and
you
family.
Family.
Your community.
Okay. Yeah, your community.
Your community.
There you go.
Your
community. Your tribe.
Yes. And
tribe is a cool word.
That is a cool word. Yeah. Tribe is a very cool word.
And we stole that from Seth Godin. That one.
Okay. And then the last thing I would say is a little bit broader now would be more your community, your social life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I've volunteered. In fact, I've gone with you even, Steve, to some on search and rescue with the Union Gospel Mission.
Great experience.
Yeah. Whatever you can do to be part of the social fabric where you live,
right,
I think that's very important.
It's
because
huge.
How are you going to reflect and lead the people if you don't even know these people?
Right.
You have to learn them. Like, for example, I would go out and play basketball with our staff, And, you know, we go out and shoot hoops and whatnot. And so I really knew who they were and what made them tick and stuff, and just get them out of the work environment and saw them in like a shooting basketball hoops or whatever, or doing community events. We did some things where we went up to the Harvest Food Bank and did some things with them, or the Susan B. Komen races and whatnot. That's where you really find out what makes these employees tick. And when you find that out, I think you'll find your heart expanding.
Let me
cut into that, because one of the things you said that, I mean, all of you, I'm going to listen to this podcast over and over again, because you said so many things right there that hit right on key. And it made me think of when I went through having kidney failure and spending 2 years on dialysis, and weekly for 15 hours a week, it put me around other dialysis patients that were on machines to live. And I developed a strong, very strong, overwhelming emotion of compassion for hurting people in that moment. After I got my kidney transplant, 1 year later, I'm not near the compassionate person I once was. And I asked somebody one time, and I said, how do I get that compassion back? And he goes, you have to always be around hurting people.
Yes.
If you do not put yourself around hurting people, your compassion will go away. Yeah. And I just thought, that is a beautiful
segment. Yeah, what's interesting that you share that, because you made me flick back on our experience together, put in a plug for the Union Gospel Mission in Seattle here. Those search and rescue missions where you're out in the middle of the night, you know, looking for people that are, you know, homeless and starving and rejected and dejected and drug addicts and mentally retarded and all of the challenges that cause homelessness, and, you know, not passing out food and blankets and stuff, but having conversations and relating. I mean, I've heard some of the most meaningful conversations between CEOs in those experiences. You know, when you're driving from one spot to another, the sidebar conversations that take place are huge breakthrough conversations. And if you're not doing that, if you're not engaged with the community, if you're just, you know, doing it to have your brand, you know, out there on, oh, we sponsored this breast cancer event or another, there's a lot of difference between wearing a pink towel and connecting with hurting people.
You remember, as America, they used to build houses with big front porches.
Yes.
Right? Where it just opened up your life to your neighborhood as a natural, it was part of life. Now they build homes with zero front porches.
Fences and huge security gates.
Right? Everybody's putting their life in the backyard where the neighborhood can't see it and the neighbors can't just walk up. I mean, it's a whole different culture. We drive into our neighborhoods. We drive into our garage. We put the garage door down. We go inside. We turn the TV on. We make our dinner, and we don't talk to anybody.
Yeah. Very good observation, Zach. Yeah. And yes, I would agree with all this. I'm very grateful to the leader of our C3 group, Steve, that organized this. And I think it allows an opportunity for myself and others to really experience the fabric of the community, and not just the strong side of the fabric, but the weak side of the fabric. Yeah. And I think that's a key part of developing the heart of a leader.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. And it's the one that is on the bottom of the list. Most executives and managers are so busy looking out after themselves and their stuff. All of us. I speak to myself as well.
Right.
So busy looking out at our stuff, our family, our kids. And we'll sponsor the breast cancer, you know, race, or we'll give money over here, over there. Giving money and giving heart are not the same thing.
Right. Yes. Exactly. And to end the show, because we're out of time, which, Tony, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. What an awesome honor.
It went so fast. We need to do it again.
Yeah.
But a couple of TV shows, like if you're a TV watcher, Secret Millionaire and Undercover Boss are excellent shows. And just take it to the next level and go do that in your actual neighborhood.
Yes.
Right. Absolutely. Go do that in your actual life and go do what they're doing on the TV show instead of for ratings. Do it for to know people and to love people. All right. Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. You guys, we're definitely going to have Mr. Tony Pizzello back.
Soon to be Dr. Tony
Pizzello. Oh, my gosh, that's right. What are we going to do when he's a doctor?
Yeah.
This is great. All right, tune in next week. ExcellentCultures.com, Clay 1180. Be back next week.
All righty, guys.
Great show. Got it.